And I'm asking that you just have an open mind and an open heart to what God would have for us this morning. Our children are leaving for Sunday school. I'd like you to turn to Exodus, the 12th chapter. I want to establish some things in Scripture. You know, it really matters very little what our opinion is. And this preaching, well, it's put together under the inspiration, I feel, of the Holy Ghost. But there's something special about the Scriptures that circumvents anything else that anybody else can say. Exodus, the 12th chapter, verse 21. Of course, it is the Exodus of Israel out of Egypt. Verse 21 says, "Then Moses called for all of the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Except you stay in the house, you can't be saved. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye shall become to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. Keep it. Keep in remembrance how you came out of Egypt. This morning, keep in remembrance how you came out of Egypt. I love when we have baptisms, we have children rushing up here to get around the water because they want to see this ceremony that happens when someone comes out of Egypt. And then Exodus, the 3rd chapter. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 3, it says, "And Moses said, I will now turn aside." I'm sorry, 13 and 3. "And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Remember this day." And then if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. 23, Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, unleavened bread, like he requested back in Exodus. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took of the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." He's saying, this do in remembrance. The Passover was a constant reminder. God delivered us from bondage. And Calvary is a constant reminder of God delivering us from where we were to where we are today. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God, an anointing, God, that would penetrate our hearts and our minds and cause us, Lord, to have a greater desire to draw closer to you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. God wants us to remember things in our life that have transformed us, and most every one of us have lists of things that happened in our life that caused us to be who we are or change direction of our life, to remember where God brought us from and delivered us. There are some days in our lives we will absolutely never forget. They are etched in our minds forever, and no matter what happens, we will always go back to those things and remember those areas. I'll never forget my first date with my wife. I won't go into details. Well, I did kiss her on that first date. I'll never forget the birth of our children. My wife delivered our son when she was only 6.5 months pregnant. He was born at 2 pounds and went way under 2 pounds. They said he would never survive, and by the mercy of God, he's doing very well. And I remember when I came into the delivery room and my daughter was born, I was just absolutely amazed because I thought I was going to have another son. I wanted a daughter, but I didn't think that that was going to happen. And the joy that I had that day. I remember the day I baptized my parents in Jesus' name when they were 76 years old. And for years I had been praying for them. I remember the first time I ever felt the physical presence of God. I'll never forget where I was sitting. I'll remember that until the day I die. I'll never forget the day that I was baptized in Jesus' name on January 8th, and there was no hot water in those days. The pastor heated a tea kettle of water and poured it into this huge baptism like that was going to do anything, you know. I remember being so cold and so feeling of cleanliness in the time and the place where I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember the color of the carpeting. I remember the night it was, the time it was. I remember people who were around me. I'll never forget how I came out of bondage into real peace. I remember where I was when President Kennedy was shot. I remember I was a junior in high school, and kids were sobbing all through the hallways because of the tragedy. Some of you weren't even in existence at the time. We all remember where we were on 9/11. This whole country went into shock, and this whole country will never forget it. Yet the Bible tells us there are lots of things that we need to forget. There are things that become a part of us and that we need to remember, yet there are past failures and defeats and tragedies and mistakes that happen within every life, and we can be held hostage by our past failures. And I wish I could extract the failures and keep the victories, but that's not the way God made our brains. He didn't just list all of the victories in this book, but all of the failures as well, because even with the failures, God loves us. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, pressing unto the mark of the high calling of God." Somebody in here needs to forget about their past. Some of us have been held in hostage and bondage because of things that have happened. And God says not only does he forgive our sins, but he forgets them. He casts them as far as east is from west. And yet we drag them through life and start repenting of them all over. And God's saying, "What are you repenting of? I don't remember." So there are some things in the Bible that tells us to forget so we can go on and press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And unless we forget, we can't press to the mark. Jesus told a man who was living in a graveyard in Mark the 5th chapter, "You know what? You got to stop cutting yourself and beating yourself up and crying among the dead. Come out of the dead and come into the living." And so many of us have all of these regrets. We should have done this and should have done that. That is yesterday. Today is today. Tomorrow is a future for every one of us. Forget it. Glory to God. If God has, we should. He was living a life of regret, this man, cutting himself with stones. And Jesus came and delivered the Gadarene from his past. Then Jesus told him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. You know what? Tell somebody about what's happened to you. Don't tell them about your past. Let me just say this. Don't tell people what you've been delivered from. It doesn't matter. You just tell them what God has done for you rather than where you came out of. Too many people want to live in the past, high school days, and then never go on because that was their glory days. Ladies wish that they could have this vanishing cream and take care of all of their wrinkles. Men wish for the days before their chest fill in their drawers. You know, we all want to look younger and be younger and have different color hair. And you know what? It really doesn't matter because God looks at us the way he wants us. He is the one who has painted the picture. He is the one who has decided the DNA structure for every one of us. And we ought to say, thank you, Jesus, for what I look like and what I am today. Hallelujah. I said in my Bible study this week, I said, you know what? I don't want to hurt your feelings, but when we get to heaven, you're going to look exactly like you look now. And you know what? It won't matter because this is all vanity of the flesh right now. We shouldn't be worried about how good we look or how good we don't look. We should worry about how good do we look to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, nothing will bring those old days back. They're lying to you if they say you can. So let's enjoy the present and the future instead of living in the graveyard of regrets. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it today. Hallelujah. Well, when I get to, no, today. So forget the past, but remember the days of deliverance. Israel had a lot of problems as slaves in Egypt. There was a purpose for all of the trouble that they have gone through. God had his hand on each of them as they went through all of the bondage, and God has his hand on each and every one of us when we go through situations. But then there was a day to remember when they were delivered out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. The Lord did, not anybody else. Moses said to the people, remember this day. You better keep this in the forefront of your mind. Understand that you didn't do this by your might, your power. Forget the bondage, but remember this day when you walked away a free person. Hallelujah. The enemy of our soul doesn't want us to be free from our past. So as Israel started marching to the promised land, all of the armies of Egypt came after them. Pharaoh had a change of heart, and so he sent all of his armies after Israel, all of the free labor. He wanted them back in order to do his bidding. It's amazing how our past comes after us when we start walking for God. Isn't it amazing? All these friends that we haven't heard from in years, now they're calling us and say, hey, you ought to, you know? All of those relatives that didn't want anything to do with us, now all of a sudden they want to get together and straighten us out. But God had an answer for those that would come after them to take away their freedom. When the Israelites came through the Red Sea, God killed all of the enemies by letting the waters roll back over them. And God has an answer for each and every one of us. When they start coming after us, we need to remember that the water rolled over the enemy. rolled over all of our past. Not one of their old enemies were able to follow them to the promised land through the water. And of course, this is a picture of our new birth. All of our former enemies were drowned when we were baptized in Jesus' name. They're dead, folks. They're not coming after us anymore. God put our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and now we are a peculiar treasure unto Him. He washed away everything in our previous life and gave us the power to live for Him like we couldn't do on our own. He's the one who delivered us. He's the one who puts the will within us in order to serve God or come to church on a Sunday morning. God is our partner from another world to ensure our victory. Hallelujah. No weapons formed against us shall prosper. Hallelujah. As we got power that you can't see, Jesus is living inside of me. We buried the old man with the old enemy. That doesn't mean that the temptation doesn't show up in the brand new dress or a new outfit saying, oh, I'm still here. But it's like a blind squirrel looking for a nut. That's what the enemy is. Just can't really see where we're going, doesn't understand, doesn't have knowledge. He can only suggest things to us to see how we respond. The enemy of our soul cannot read our minds. God can read our minds. And just because a thought comes into our mind doesn't mean that's a sin. It's just something that's cast into our minds to see how we're going to respond. It's like a hunting dog on the scent of an animal. And once the animal reaches the water, there's no more scent of sin to follow us home. So he can't get to us. We've been through the water. Amen. When Israel came onto the other side of the Red Sea, the only problem that they had was with the Amalekites. None of the other enemies. And what the illustration is here is the Amalekites were the flesh. They were the descendants of Esau who just worried about his belly. And so the only ones they really had trouble, and the only ones that we'll really have trouble with after we've been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost is the flesh. It's not Pharaoh and his army. It's just our flesh relative that seeks to bring us back. We remember the wrong things, perhaps things that we have once been delivered from. And when things get difficult, Israel wanted to go back to Egypt because they thought it would be better if they went back to the flesh pots, the leeks and the onions, the old music and even the old lifestyle. That was really better for us. We had it better back in Egypt. Did you really? Pharaoh held them prisoner, but the flesh came to live with them. And that's the problem that we have today. And the more we feed the spiritual man, the easier it is to overcome the flesh. Listen, I want to set somebody free here this morning. The devil may be sniffing around the water, but he can't find the scent. The real problem is the enemy that came to live with us. It's the old story of Ishmael, who was the first son of the bondswoman, and Isaac, the promised son. Ishmael represents our flesh, and Isaac represents the spiritual, born-again person. And the flesh, or Ishmael, was born 13 years before Isaac, and so he had 13 years in order to get a foothold in the life. You see, in my case, I was 30 years old before I came into the presence of God and into full truth. And so 30 years had a hold on me. And some of the things that I've experienced during the 30 years without God still reaches back and tries to grab a hold of me in order to bring me back. And we wonder why we still have occasional struggles with anger and selfishness and lack of patience. Well, welcome to the new man's club. And that's what we are. There's a new man walking in these shoes. He don't do the things he used to do, but it's got to be by God's Spirit, God's power that helps us through it. But God can use the struggles that we have with the flesh to prepare us and reward us with a promised land. Trouble comes with a promise. we advance by adversity. We really do. Like I talked about last week's Sunday, he entered into the wilderness, Jesus, in the Spirit, but he came out in the power of the Spirit. Afflictions has a cause to allow us to grow and become everything that God wants us to be. Trouble and afflictions will minister to us, and we glorify God when he delivers us. Would you turn to Psalms 50? Psalms chapter 50 and verse number 14. It says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So what God is saying, I'm happy to deliver you, because through that deliverance, you're going to give me praise. You're going to glorify me. And then Micah, Old Testament, minor prophet, Micah chapter 7 and verse number 7. Therefore I look unto the Lord, I will wait for God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he pled my cause and executed judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. And so we find that God will plead our course. He'll plead our situation. He will deliver us. If you have trouble, you might think that God has abandoned you, and we just have this natural progression thinking, what did I do wrong? You know, I'm sick. Well, what happened? It's not about what you did. Maybe God's just using this as a situation in order to glorify God and to promote you to another level of spirituality. In all reality, he has put you up for promotion, and sometimes we complain the most because we have to go through what God wants to give us something extra. I cling to this scripture, and God has promoted me and to set a platform for him to show himself strong on our behalf. There are challenges that God wants to set up in the workplace and in our family, so our family can understand that our God is bigger than anything that we can possibly do, and then he gets the glory as a result of it. God is looking for a deeper commitment and an undivided allegiance to him. And when we go through these things, we confirm, I'm not leaving. I'm not changing. I'm going to stay with these things. David said in Psalms 119 and 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Trouble doesn't have the power to destroy us. Amen. We have been sealed. We have been sanctified. Nothing is going to happen to us. Don't worry about it. God's got this whole thing in control. All things work together for good for those that are the called according to my purpose. No, his purpose. If it only has a power to bless you and to increase you, we come out with a perfect praise and a purity of faith. Because if we're just left in this rose garden without any kind of thorns, with any kind of trouble, we will not voluntarily move to a place of perfect praise or purity of faith. And God has got to get us to the place where we have that purity of faith and perfect praise. How long can trouble last? You know? Well, until the impurities are gone. I want to move as fast as I can. I don't want to stay in the second grade. I want to advance. Until the self-centeredness is gone, the bitterness, the hatred is gone, the envy, the lust, all of these things that come against us because we're born with them. And God's saying, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. And then all of a sudden we're experiencing the joy of the Lord again. But if there's something that we're holding on to because, you know, we were unjustly wronged, well, I'll tell you what, you'll never get the joy back. You'll never get the promotion. He wants to purify us, and don't think this fiery trial is strange, so that he can give us stuff. And we don't get intoxicated because of what we got. Amen. You know, God gives us a revelation, and I felt the presence of God, and God did this for me, and God did that for me, but we can get so intoxicated about what God has done for us that we sometimes think that we are somebody. God has used me in order to preach a message. God has used me in order to heal the sick. God has used me in order to give information to someone. Well, that's fine. God did it. You didn't do it. Otherwise, you get intoxicated about, oh, my, look at you. And we want to applaud the flesh. The ministry has a great problem in this area because there's a fine line in separating, you know, our value with God's value. And everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be applauded. Everybody wants to, well, good job. Well, sometimes God's got to just take us down a notch and say, you know, you're really not as important as you think you are, you know? Remember, I used a donkey, you know? So I want you to know that hell works for heaven, not the other way around. Moses told the people at the beginning of their freedom from bondage, remember this day in which ye come out from bondage. There were going to be some battles along the way, but they were to remember the day that they were set free. And so what I'm saying is, yes, we're all going to go through battles, but start to remember and reflect on what God has already done for you. Remember where you were. There's no sense in complaining about where you are right now, because God has taken the greater and delivered us from those things which could have destroyed you. We all need to remember our born-again birthday, even more importantly than our natural birthday, you know? I think maybe we should end the screen show, this is your spiritual birthday, instead of just your, you know, Sister Janelle saying, now that she's old, and if she's old, I feel like I'm ancient of days. I don't want that flashed up anymore, how old I am, you know? Glory to God. It's where we got complete victory over the enemy. Revisit the picture in your mind of our being filled with the Holy Ghost to encourage yourself. Revisit your healings. Revisit what you're feeling in any given service. There was a reason Moses said, remember this day, because he knew there was going to be situations where they would forget. Forget the mistakes. We all have them, but remember the victories. I've used this illustration over the years, but it's been very effective. In 1836, a small mission church was the stage of one of the greatest battles that was ever fought, the Battle of the Alamo. It was in San Antonio. We visited there a few years ago. 1,400 Mexican army troops came against 24 Texans for 13 days until all the Texans were killed defending the American freedom. Among the Texans were Jim Bowie and David Crockett, and they were very famous Americans. They said all during the battle they would keep yelling out encouraging things to each other. Come on, fight. We're going to fight. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. They didn't make it, but they encouraged one another. And really what God is saying is to the church, we need to not discourage one another, but encourage one another. You're going to get through this, folks. I come here to be encouraged, not discouraged. I pray that never my preaching is ever a discouragement to anybody. It's meant to encourage one another. America eventually won the war, but in every battle after that, they would yell, "Remember the Alamo," to encourage because of what those couple of dozen men went through. On December 7, 1941, there was a sneak attack at Pearl Harbor. There were many killed, thousands that were killed, many of them when they were still sleeping. In every battle after, before the end of the World War II, soldiers were determined to fight and win more than ever because of that battle, and they would shout, "Remember Pearl Harbor." Church, we have been in a sneak attack from the very beginning. All of the disciples were put to death with the exception of John. I need to remember this sacrifice to finish my own battle. Remember what they put up with. Remember all of the suffering they went through. I need to remember when the going gets tough, the day I was delivered from bondage and what God has already done for me, and he's done many, many, many things for me over the years. I need to remember the moment that the water rolled over my enemy in baptism. I need to picture that in my mind. I need to remember the freedom I felt when my sins were completely washed away. I came out and there was a peace that came on me that passes all understanding. I remember sitting in my living room that evening after the service and thinking, you know, if the house is burning, somebody call the fire department. It doesn't matter. Nothing else matters in my life except God. But most of all, we Jesus' name Christians need to remember what Jesus suffered for each and every one of us. If there's ever a thing that we need to remember in order to encourage us to go on further, remember what he endured at a mock trial, at a beating that he took long before we were ever healed. Remember the nails that were driven into his hands and into his feet. Remember his suffering when we have a struggle, not to be compared with what we're going through, but we need to remember what he went through for each and every. Do this in remembrance of me. And today we have our own battle cry, a theme that takes us into battle with confidence and always gives us the victory. Our battle cry is, remember Calvary. And when somebody is hurt, when somebody is struggling, somebody ought to yell out, "Remember Calvary. Remember what Jesus did for us. If he suffered for us the way he suffered for us, don't you think he's going to come to our rescue? Don't you think that he's going to take on our burdens? Don't you think he will? Remember, don't forget. Remember, don't forget Calvary." It's the day we have been delivered from the bondage. And now we're free to raise our hands and to worship God. We're free to live a life that's pleasing to God. We're free to be sanctified by the Spirit and washed in his blood. And that we need to stay in the house because the angel that comes to destroy, he can't destroy us because we have the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost and lintel of our house. And we need to stay in the house. It's got to stir up something in us, stir up a fight in each of us to the finish of our course and to receive the prize. Amen. Will you remember and not forget? Will you remember this week and not forget what Jesus has done? I'm constantly saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." But you know, we say our thank yous, but we should do our thank yous as well. Okay, I appreciate what you've done. Now, I'll go through the struggles. I'll do it. It can't compare to what you suffered for me. I remember Calvary. Glory to God. And sometimes we need to go back to the details of what the Scripture says and how he suffered. Because it's no comparison, our struggle, for what he struggled. He was innocent. We're guilty. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Everything we have that's of any kind of value costs something.